Good morning, brethren and friends. We thank you again for joining us through the live streaming as we finally meet together as a church. It's a blessing to assemble together as a body this morning. I will speak from Hebrews 7:25, and I'll ask you to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 7, and I'll be speaking on the only priest that can save to the uttermost. And as you turn to Hebrews 7, those of you in attendance this morning, I would ask you to stand as we read God's holy word. Hebrews 7:25 says, "Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again we ask you, as we meet this morning, we ask you that you would bless the preaching of your holy word. And we thank you that we're finally able to meet together as an assembly, as a body. We thank you so much for that, Heavenly Father. But we're also thankful that we're able to live stream the message this morning. And so may your spirit accompany your holy word. Oh, Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts this morning. Lord, remind us of the glorious work of your beloved Son as the great high priest, the faithful great high priest who does save to the uttermost. Oh, Heavenly Father, speak to those that are yet outside Christ. We need for you to cause your spirit to move and to stir up sinners this morning. And so, Lord, I rise, Heavenly Father. Let thy people be blessed by your word. May thy saints shout for joy. And again, empower this poor servant to proclaim your holy word in power and in truth. For we ask all this in the blessed and holy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. What a joy to finally again meet as a body this morning. And a few weeks ago, I was going to speak from Hebrews 7:25, but my Lord put my heart in Psalm 84 that I spoke in the last two Sundays, and I had shared a four-point outline, but then I've been studying the whole chapter of Hebrews 7, and I've added two more points, so I have 6 points I want to share with you. Number one, the priesthood of the Savior. Secondly, the person of salvation. Thirdly, the power of salvation. Fourthly, the permanence of salvation. Fifthly, the proclamation of salvation, and then sixthly, the prayer of the Savior. Again, in Hebrews 7:25, it says, "Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost." And notice that he qualifies who? Speaking of those that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. You know, as you read this text, it is a blessed and glorious text that is filled with so much truth. Now, our first point is centered around that very first word, wherefore, or if you wish, therefore, of Hebrews 7:25. Because the word wherefore encompasses the first 24 verses of chapter 7. In other words, the Apostle Paul has shared about the Levitical priesthood. And then he speaks about the eternal, unchangeable priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ to show again that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only priest that can save sinners from their sins. Now, because I want to make a strong application to the word wherefore, and that he is the only priest that can save sinners, and I need to borrow from so many other texts, therefore this morning we're only going to look at point number one, and we'll continue from this text next week. We see that in the first 24 verses of Hebrews 7, again, the Apostle Paul establishes the argument to bring us to the application of verse 25 of Christ as our effectual high priest. You know, when he gets to verse 25, it's like Paul finally comes to a high crescendo in making his point across to fully express what our faithful and great high priest has done for us. In other words, we have a better priest in Christ than any of the Old Testament high priests. As a matter of fact, in the book of Hebrews, the word priest is used 26 times. Of those 26 times, 22 of them are used directly of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of those 22 times, 8 of them are used here in chapter 7. Okay? To express, again, the priesthood of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, it does bring us to our first point. That is, number one, the priesthood of our Savior. Again, the word "wherefore" alone is powerful. And it's used by the Apostle Paul to express the nature and application of Christ's priesthood for our salvation. And those of you that are in Christ this morning, rejoice in the fact of what Christ has accomplished for us as our priest. But if you're outside Christ, there's still a blessing for you, because this can be applied to you also in the aspect of the gospel. That it would bring you to God, which is what is mentioned in the middle verse, them that come unto God by Him, which we'll see in our fifth point on the proclamation of salvation, which again is found in the gospel. But let us first find something out of this precious, great high priest. Okay? This faithful high priest. Again, the Apostle Paul in chapter 7 sets forth, again, a blessed argument to show the superiority of the priesthood of Christ over the Old Testament Levitical priesthood, or you wish those that came from the house of Aaron. The word "wherefore" brings together everything that the Apostle Paul has said. Really, when you look at it all the way back to chapter 5, when he first introduces us to Melchizedek. Okay? And I want you to notice what he says afterwards in verses 26 to 28, after he makes his point in verse 25. In Hebrews 7, 26, it says, "For or because such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heaven, who needed not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh man high priest, which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore." Paul says all this to bring us to chapter 8, to introduce us to the new covenant. But notice how he begins verse 1 of chapter 8. We'll read there. Verse 1, it says, "Now of the things which we have spoken," I love this phrase, "this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of majesty in the heaven." Again, that middle phrase, "this is the sum," it's powerful. And this is really the point that I'm making with the word "wherefore" of verse 25, the first word, "wherefore." As Paul is saying, this is the sum of what I have established in the first 24 verses. Paul, when he uses it, really he goes all the way to Hebrews 1:1, all the way to Hebrews 7:28, and he says, this is the sum, and now he's going to introduce us into the new covenant. But again, Paul says, "wherefore." Basically the same thing. This is the sum. This is the sum of everything that I have just said, to bring you to the point to explain to you what this great high priest has done for us. And so I hope you see now why I'm going to emphasize on that word "wherefore." Because it is powerful. And it's powerful regarding that only priest that can save sinners. And I want you, this is why I'm going to spend time in this one word. I want you to grasp this truth of this word "wherefore," because it speaks so powerfully regarding our first point, the priesthood of the Savior. Now, we must understand that God also had ordained the Aaronic priesthood, and He did this for the Mosaic economy, that is the Old Covenant. But I remind you that Aaron never took an oath. But our Lord Jesus Christ, He took an oath. And we'll see this later. Now, there's so much here in the first 24 verses of chapter 7. In the first 10 verses, Paul introduces us to Melchizedek again in the Levitical priesthood. But I want you to see what he also says in the middle verses, in verses 11 through 14. So in Hebrews 7, at verse 11, notice what he says. He says, "If, therefore, perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there for another priest should arise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron?" See, Paul's starting to make his argument when he brings it to verse 25. But notice the next phrase is so powerful. What does he say? "For the priesthood being changed." Mark that down. "For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that a Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning the priesthood." And so, what a powerful argument, I think, by Paul also in verse 11 when he says, if therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, if that was true, then there was no need for any other priest to come. There was no need for any other priest that should arise. And then he answers his own question beginning in verse 12 when he says, "For the priesthood being changed." In other words, it made it necessary. It was a necessity for the Lord Jesus to come. That's why the Messiah came. It was a necessity for the coming of the great high priest. And again, there's so much here. There's a lot here. But I cannot cover every detail because my main text is verse 25. But in verse 12, speaking of the priesthood, notice again he speaks about it being changed. It said, "For the priesthood being changed." But then Paul, later on, answers his own argument. Look what he says in verse 24. Speaking of Christ, "But this man, Christ, because he continued ever, had what? An unchangeable priesthood." I hope you see the contrast that he's making here, the argument. They had a changeable priesthood, but Christ has an unchangeable priesthood. I mean, what a contrast. I mean, the Levitical priesthood, it changed often. And the question might be asked, well, why did it change often? Well, it changed often because of death. Because of death. But with Christ, we have an unchangeable priesthood. And this is why the Lord Jesus Christ is the only priest that can save to the uttermost. I want to read again in verses 19 to 24 to bring us to that powerful word, therefore. Okay? Let's pick up at verse 19. It says, "For," or "because, for the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope," speaking of Christ, "by that which we draw nigh unto God. And this as much as not without an oath he was made a priest, that is, Christ's priesthood was made by an oath, and the Levitical priesthood was not," which he says in verse 21. He says, "For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, the Lord sware and will not repent, thou art a priest after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests." And again, here's a very key phrase. "And they were truly many priests because they were not suffered to continue." Why? "For reason of death." But, thank God for the buts of the Bible. I love the buts of the Bible. Amen. But, this man, who? Jesus Christ. This man, because he continueth forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. This is what brings us to that wherefore of verse 25. the priesthood of our Savior. I hope you're grasping that. The apostle's point is so clear. I mean, the aspect of the Levitical priesthood is inferior to Christ's priesthood. That is so clearly seen in the view of what? Of the priest term in their office. Now, the Aaronic priesthood, by law, it would continue. It did continue. But there was a problem. The problem was that their office as priests was temporal. Why? Again, because they died. Because of death. You see, death would determine the length and stay of every single priest. Notice again verse 23. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. Simon Heisemeyer, in his commentary in Hebrews, he says, quote, "For death is no respecter of persons. The high priest was powerless in the face of death," unquote. What a difference. That's why I love the word "but." But, again, not a great high priest. No. Why? Because our great high priest, he conquered death. That's what makes the difference. That's why he's the only priest that can say to the uttermost. Because Jesus Christ, he conquered death. That's our hope. I mean, what a blessing. He conquered death. My. That is so powerful. Kitemeister continues. He says, quote, "The list of the many high priests who served for a long or short period of time is extensive. But the concluding comment for each and every one of them is this. And he died." Unquote. Yes, just like everybody else, just like each and every one of us here in this auditorium and everyone in Facebook, we all are going to die one day. Okay? Yes, we are. But I hope you are understanding how the Apostle Paul makes his very strong argument regarding the Aaronic priesthood and Christ's eternal or unchangeable priesthood. Again, the Old Testament priests, there were many. But there was only one Christ. But this man, Christ made the difference in the priesthood. The Old Testament priests, every single one of them, again, they all succumbed to death. They all died. But this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was made after, not in the Levitical priesthood, but made after the order of Melchizedek, the Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest, he conquered death. Our hope is in Christ. Our hope is that Christ's priesthood is that it is not only unchangeable, but thanks be to God, it is eternal. That's what gives us hope. And again, there's so much here, but I think you're trying to finally understand the powerful argument of Paul with the word "wherefore." Again, notice the clarity, the precision of the Apostle Paul regarding our great high priest, Jesus Christ. I want to read these verses again in verses 21, and now I'm going to add verse 25 to bring it together. Again, in verse 21, it says, "For or because those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, that were a priest after the order of Melchizedek, by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament, and they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man," whoo, glory to God, "but this man, because he continued ever, had what? An unchangeable," in contrast to the changing of the priests of the Old Testament. He had an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, you get it? Wherefore, he is able, what? To save them to the uttermost. That's the whole point of Paul.
Yes.
Because of what Christ has accomplished. He conquered death, and he has an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, therefore, he is able to save them. How? To the uttermost. That's glorious. What a blessing that our Lord Jesus Christ, he took this poor wretched sinner, and he saved him, Brother Ben, from the guttermost to the uttermost. What a blessing. Do you know anything of that? Oh, my, my, my. Yes. I ask you this morning, is Jesus Christ your priest? Or are you trusting in some earthly priest? I remind you, no man, no church, no work, no earthly priest, no good work, I mean, no earthly priest can save you. Only this man, Christ Jesus. Not only can he save you, but thanks be to God, he can save you how? To the uttermost. I mean, can I get an amen from somebody?
Amen.
Oh, thank you. I mean, not only that he can save, but he can save what? To the uttermost. I mean, I get excited about that, my dear ones. To think he can save me to the uttermost. That would give me hope. That's why I said, anytime I can lay my head on the pillow, no matter what's going on in my life and problems and arguments with my wife, maybe at times or whatever, things, myself, you know, my own personal issues, you know. But at the end of the day, I lay my head on the pillow. Woo! Glory to God, I have an unchangeable priesthood that has saved me to the uttermost. Wow! What a blessing. That's the wherefore of what Paul is speaking about, my dear ones. Oh, my, my, my. This high priest, he will give you eternal life. That's what he means by the uttermost. Not temporary life, like many people preach, that you can lose your salvation. No, to the uttermost eternal life. What an assurance in the aspect of salvation. And so, again, the word wherefore. Paul clearly sets forth what? The priesthood of our Savior. In Christ, we have a faithful and great high priest. I'm reminded, I'll read it to you, of those words in Hebrews 4:14 where it says, seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Whoo, I love that. What a blessing. Do you have a priest? I do. His name is Jesus Christ. And that's what gives me hope, my dear ones. Again, our great high priest, what did he do? He conquered death. And he conquered death, and he was passed into the heaven, and the very moment he sits upon the throne on the right hand of the Father. That's my priest. What about your priest? Oh, my. And so what great encouragement. And so we ask you, outside Christ, to trust him as your priest for your salvation. Because this great high priest has done everything necessary for our salvation so that we can do what? Put our faith and trust in him. Christ became the faithful high priest as the mediator between God and man. And so I ask you again, is Christ Jesus your priest? Is he your mediator? Now, Christ, for those that are in Christ, Christ as our great high priest, I also remind you that in God's wisdom, in his foreordination, God in a holy oath swore that Christ would be the priest. But not just the priest. He swore that Christ would be the priest and the sacrifice. Both. the one that offered the sacrifice and the victim himself. This is why he is the mediator as a faithful high priest, offering himself in the place or stead of sinners. And he died. I loved it. He died in complete satisfaction, fulfilling every holy demand of the Father. Yes. So Christ is our faithful high priest. And again, this is a very precious subject. You know, when you think about it, I just quickly remind you that there are three offices of Christ. The three offices of Christ are what? Prophet, priest, and king. Remember, as prophet, he came to instruct us, to teach us of his word. As priest, he came to die. And as priest, not only did he die, but what does he do? He brings us to God. And as king, he rules and protects us. Now, another familiar text I would ask you to turn. I think I preached this early in the year, back in January or February, I believe, in Hebrews chapter 2. In Hebrews chapter 2, note what it says. Let's begin at verse 14 for the sake of time. In verse 14 it says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily, he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him," what? "The seed of Abraham. Wherefore," that's the only other wherefore, I believe, in the book of Hebrews. "Wherefore," or "therefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a," what? "A merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make," what? "Reconciliation for the sins of the people," or it can also be translated atonement, "to make reconciliation," atonement for the sins of the people, "for that he himself had suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted." Here we see again our Lord Jesus Christ's faithful work as the merciful and faithful high priest. Paul in Hebrews has shown us that Christ is better and superior than all the angels. Therefore, Christ came into the world not to redeem fallen angels. No. But to redeem who? Fallen man. Again, Paul is showing us that the Lord Jesus Christ is what? Excuse me. He is better than Moses, better than Joshua, and therefore we have a better hope, a better testament, better promises established upon a better covenant, a better country, a better sacrifice, and yea, a better and superior priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. A superior priesthood. Now, we're also told here in Hebrews 2 that it was necessary for Christ to be made like unto his brethren, whom he came to save, so that he might be that merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. And so Christ did not assume the office of the priesthood on his own. It was ordained as an infallible and irreversible oath that he should be the priest. What? After the order of Melchizedek. And not after the Levitical priesthood. Again, the Aaronic Levitical priesthood was by the Old Covenant law, but this man, Christ, it was by an oath of God the Father himself in order to establish that blessed new covenant. I remind you that the promised Messiah, Jesus Christ, was to come and was prophesied to be a prophet, even like unto Moses. a king like unto David, and then a priest after the order of Melchizedek, which is quoted there in Hebrews twice. And it's taken, I'll read it to you, from Psalm 110, verse 4, where it says, "The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever." Key word. Not that you're just a priest for some time. No, you are a priest. How long? Forever. After the order of Melchizedek. Very important word, forever. Never changing. Always abiding. You know, in 1 Samuel 2:35, it also says, "I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is in mine heart and in my mind, and I will build him a sure house, and he will walk before me, before mine anointed, forever." Again, you see, by this word forever in both of these verses, it means that this particular office of the priesthood of Christ as priest means that he has, again, what? An unchangeable priesthood that is used, again, in contrast to the continual changing of the old Levitical priesthood mentioned already, as we saw in Hebrews 7:23 and 25. Excuse me. Hebrews 7:23 and 24. Our Lord Jesus Christ was ordained to be a priest in eternity past, to be an unchangeable priest. To be an unchangeable and, friend, we can even add, perpetual priest. I remind you also that, what were the duties of the priest? The duty of the priest was what? To offer sacrifices. And number two, to make intercession for the people. But there was also a third function, my dear ones, that is very, very important. You see, that third function of the priest is that his sacrifice would be accepted by God. That was very, very important. Why do I say that? Because if you read in the Old Testament, Christ did not accept every sacrifice. How many times, even I believe in Isaiah 1 and other places in Jeremiah, you say, "Away with it, away with it! Away with the sacrifices, away with the oblations." Then even God said, "I'm tired of it because of their sins." So it's not like he accepted every one of them. No. But this man, who, thanks be to God, not only was he the priest who offered the sacrifice, but he was the sacrifice himself. But thanks be to God, it was accepted by God the Father. Accepted. And so now, our Lord Jesus Christ, as a great high priest, has offered himself, has sacrificed himself, and now is in heaven, and he lives forevermore. As we see at the end of Hebrews 7:25, he lives evermore to be what? Our intercessor. And therefore fulfilling all the functions of the priesthood. I mean, the fact that he is presently right now, this very moment, seated on the right hand of the Father in heaven, signifies that his office as a priest and his sacrifice was what? Was accepted by God the Father. And so now, again, Christ had to be made like unto his brethren. Because fallen man, after Adam's fall, we are all altogether sinful. And because of sin, we have been banished from the presence of God. I mean, people think they can come to God any way they want. But we, because of our sins, we have separated ourselves because of our sins from God. And the only thing, that barrier of sin, the only thing that can remove that and reconcile us back to God is Jesus Christ. That's the only hope. Reconciliation. Why? Because sin has separated us from God. And so there is a great gulf between God and man that can never be removed except by the cross of Calvary, by the means of the mediator. Again, Isaiah 59:2 says this, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins he has hid your face from you that he will not hear." Thus, Christ became our faithful high priest to be mediator, to bridge the gap between who? God and man. Again, one of the major functions of the priest is to be a mediator. And so Jesus Christ became the only one who could stand between who? God and man. Between God and sinful man. Hebrews 2:17 again says, "Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to what? To make reconciliation for the sins of the people." In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the merciful and faithful high priest, offered himself as the sacrifice and satisfied all the fullness of the justice of God. He offered himself to make reconciliation, or if you wish, to make atonement for the people. The word, again, reconciliation, not only atonement, but also means propitiation. That means the wrath of God has been removed, that we might be accepted in the beloved. And therefore, our Lord Jesus Christ offered himself to reconcile us to God the Father. By his sacrifice. And his sacrifice is not only propitiatory, but also expiatory. And we can deal with those later. And so our Lord was the sin bearer. We're told in Isaiah 53. "Surely he had borne our grief, carried our sorrow, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with our stripes we are, and with his stripes we are healed." And so God was satisfied, and therefore what? Propitiated, appeased. And then Christ covered all our sins with his precious blood, removed our guilt, so that now we can be what? Reconciled to God. Jesus Christ is our mercy seat. He was the faithful high priest in our behalf, so that every obstacle can be removed, so that we can now freely approach God. And the following is copied from an old sermon that I preached. I remember this. It says, a quote from Joe Maldonado. It says, "Jesus Christ is our mercy seat. We can therefore meet God with our sins at the cross, and he meets us with salvation. We meet God with our dark hearts at the cross, and he meets us there with deliverance. We meet God with our guilt at the cross, and he meets us there with grace. We meet God with misery at the cross, and he meets us there with mercy. We meet God with condemnation at the cross, and he meets us there with consolation. We meet God with sorrow at the cross, and he meets us there with the joy of salvation. We meet God with a sinful heart at the cross, and he meets us with sanctification. We meet God with a broken heart at the cross, and he meets us with a blessed healing. We meet God with fear at the cross, and he meets us with forgiveness. We meet God with conviction at the cross, and he meets us with pardon. We meet God in our sins at the cross, and he meets us with love. This is what our faithful high priest has done for us. This is what he does for us at salvation. And this is why our Lord Jesus Christ is the only priest that can save to the uttermost. He's the only one, the only priest that has forever appeased and removed God's wrath by his work upon the cross. So that now, if you're outside Christ, you can be reconciled to God. God will only meet sinners where? At the mercy seat. And Christ is your mercy seat. Jesus Christ is the only Savior of sinners. So now God can meet with poor sinful sinners in all his glorious, wonderful, marvelous mercy and gracious grace. Why? Because of the propitiatory sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross. I believe this was part of the point when the Lord Jesus Christ himself said in John 5:24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hear my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." So if you're outside the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, guess what? You can come to Christ right now freely. And Christ will be a faithful high priest to you. So you will not fall under condemnation that is under the condemnation of God. But you can be passed from death unto life because of this faithful and great high priest, even now. What can he do? He can save you to the uttermost in every way and give you everlasting life. How glorious is that? And so our Lord Jesus Christ did everything necessary to be reconciled to God. Every obstacle removed, everything, and you can go now directly to God through the Lord Jesus Christ, the only mediator. And the thing is, when you think about it, our Lord Jesus Christ, when he went with the cross, to the cross, he went with such a joy. He didn't give himself with a grudge. He didn't give himself half-heartedly. No. He did it in full love and mercy as a faithful high priest in complete and full satisfaction to the Father. Again, one of my favorite verses in Hebrews 12:2, I quote it often, looking unto Jesus, the awesome finisher of faith, who for what the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down now in the right hand of the throne of God. The fact that joy was set before him as he went to the cross. I mean, what love, what mercy, what grace that he would freely go to the cross and undertake all that pain. Oh my, my. What a compassionate and faithful high priest who died the death that I should have died. He died as the just for the unjust. Why? That he might bring us to God, which is the point of Hebrews 7:25. So such is the indescribable and unconditional love of Christ for us that he willingly, yea, obediently endured everything that was necessary to be a merciful and faithful high priest. You know, I think of Jacob. Remember Jacob of old? I mean, took him 14 years. He did everything possible. He undertook, he endured whatever he could do that he might obtain Rachel. How much more our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to do with great love to submit to the term to undergo all the sorrow, undertake all the anguish, all the pain, even being separated from the Father for a moment, fulfill all necessary conditions, and that he did it with such a love to save sinners. This is why John would write later on in 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. How glorious is that? In Romans 5:8, but God commanded his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Ephesians 2:4, but God who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. I love what J.C. Ryle said. He says, quote, he knew what we were before conversion, wicked, guilty, defiled, yet he loved us. He knows what we would be after conversion, weak, erring, and frail, yet he loves us, unquote. That's great love, my dear ones. Jesus Christ, in the giving up of himself upon the cross, as the sacrifice of his people, as the substitute of his people, has faithfully and eternally executed his office as the great high priest in things pertaining to God. He has obtained, yea, procured eternal salvation, eternal redemption for us. And so what a joy, what a peace and hope to know that Christ has put away all my sins. Christ is the priest. Christ is the sacrifice. Christ is the altar. Christ is the mercy seat. Christ offered himself. He gave himself as a sweet-smelling savor. As we're told there in Ephesians 5:2, Christ has also loved us, and he has given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Listen to these blessed words in Hebrews 9, verses 11 to 12. But Christ, becoming high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. in Hebrews 10 to 12, he says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all, in contrast to the Levitical priesthood, you know, would have to sacrifice again and again and again. No, he says he died once and for all. And every priest standeth daily, ministering, offering up signs, the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. But, there's another but of the Bible, my dear. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, sat down on the right hand of the Father. Whoo, glory to God. Never to be repeated again, ever. But for all time, the payment has been rendered. The sacrifice has been made. The wrath of God has been appeased. The judgment of God for sin has been satisfied, my dear ones. He died once and for all as the only true and Savior of sinners. Yea, the only and true faithful high priest. Christ took my sins as my merciful and faithful high priest. Christ took my sins. He nailed them to the cross once and for all, and I bear them no more. Ooh, that's glorious. You can experience that if you're outside Christ also. This very moment, come to Him. Again, Paul says that he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever. He says, for by one offering he had perfected forever them who are sanctified. So it's very clear regarding Christ dying once and for all as a merciful and high priest. Never to die again. And therefore, he evermore lives and is seated on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. Whew, that's glorious. And in all these verses, again, we see the all-important truth regarding the vicarious substitutionary work of the Lord Jesus Christ and His sacrifice. In other words, Christ did not merely suffer in our behalf, but Christ actually suffered in our place, in our stead. Christ suffered for us. He bore the penalty for our sin, and He did it in complete and full satisfaction to the Father. And so God has made a blessed and glorious provision for sinners. He has paid a full price in the room or stead of the sinner. And my question to you this morning as we conclude, what would you do? What are you going to do with this good news? Are you going to believe this good news and embrace it with all your heart? Or are you willing to walk away in unbelief? I mean, are you willing to walk away this morning from the only way of salvation? Are you willing to walk away from the only priest that can save you to the uttermost? Are you willing to walk away from this dear Savior? Oh, dear sinner friend, I warn you that outside Christ, there is no other way of salvation. There's no other sacrifice. There's no other way. Oh, to God, that you would take heed to this message, the message of the gospel this morning, that you would come even now in repentance and faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, what does Paul say in Hebrews 7:25? Wherefore, He is able also to save them to the uttermost. I hope now you understand that word, wherefore, the power of it. Wherefore, He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto Him, to come unto God by Him. That is, those that come to God by Him. This is the whole epic of the gospel. Coming to the Father, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then seeing that He ever lived to make intercession for them. This is the essence of the gospel. This is the whole aspect of the good news. That Christ died for sinners. And so, come to Him, even now. At the very commencement of His ministry, at the very beginning of ministry, Christ set forth the standard of what He was going to preach. And at the very beginning, in Mark 1, verses 14 and 15, He said, now after John was put in prison, Christ came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. That's the message for you this morning. So, are you willing to die without a high priest? Are you willing to die without the great high priest, Jesus Christ? Are you willing to die without a substitute? Are you willing to die without satisfaction made in your behalf for your sins? Are you willing to die in your own sins without any hope? And so I compel you this morning. I bid you come. Come to Christ. Come. Christ Himself, He clearly and succinctly said, no man cometh to the Father. No man. Why? Because I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. That's the gospel. And therefore, the Bible sets forth so clearly Christ's finished work, Christ's final work upon the cross, Christ's fulfilled work. And this morning, we have seen Christ's faithful work as that glorious high priest that can save to the uttermost. My. And you, are you willing to just walk away from that good news? My. May God be pleased to open your heart and to draw you unto Him this morning. Cause you to see your sins, that you would flee to this merciful and faithful high priest. Again, Romans 10 tells us that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference, whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so I implore you this morning to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, the only priest that can save your soul. So come to Christ in repentance toward God and faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for being our faithful and great high priest. Thank you for your glorious work upon the cross. And we pray again for those that are outside Christ. We're going to be pleased to draw them unto thee with effectual grace, not only here in this auditorium this morning, but throughout the land of Facebook, Lord. That you cause them to bow the knee, even now confessing, repenting from sin, looking to you alone as their Savior for salvation. O Heavenly Father, move in our midst. And to those of us who are saved already, we thank you so much for the grace of salvation. Thank you for doing everything necessary for our salvation. Help us to walk in that path of righteousness for your namesake, to walk, to honor, to glorify you. And so, Lord, we thank you again for blessing us with your word. For we ask all this in your blessed and holy name. Amen. Amen. We thank you again for being with us on Facebook this morning. May God bless and Godspeed.